This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
This edition today is a dedication to the legacy, the official farewell, funeral and the send-off of Pope Francis, the 266th successor of the first Pope, Peter. In the second segment of today's program, certain particularities and traditions about what happens when a pope dies are explained. We shall close our program today with an exceptional look at Pope Francis and his concern and call for the care of our common home. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. 250,000 people attended the funeral mass of the late Pope Francis that was held in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican, according to the Holy See Press Office. Among those in the crowds were some 50 heads of state and governments, government delegations and 10 monarchs. Notable of these world leaders were the President of the United States, Donald Trump, Emmanuel Macron from France, Russia's Vladimir Putin and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky. Also present at the Requiem Mass were the President of Kenya, William Ruto, the Vice President of Tanzania, Dr. Mpango Filippo, and a delegation from Zambia consisting of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation Minister Mulambo Haimbe and Infrastructure, Housing and Urban Development Minister Charles Milupi, and the President of the Zambia Conference of Catholic Bishops, Archbishop Ignatius Chama of the Kasama Archdiocese, together with Bishop George Zumaire Lungu of Chipata Diocese. In his homily during the Requiem Mass, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Battista Ray, recorded the highlights of his intense and prophetic 12 years of pontificate that he said was marked by his closeness to the people, especially the least and the last amongst us. He said that Pope Francis had deep love for the church and was open to everyone. Lisa Zengarini reports.
Thanking all those present and extending his greetings to the numerous official delegations from across the world attending the Mass, Cardinal Ray started his homily by noting that the outpouring witnessed in this week of mourning tells us a lot on how much Pope Francis touched minds and hearts of many people. Referencing the Gospel passage where Christ charges Peter with shepherding his flock, the Cardinal remarked that despite his frailty and suffering towards the end, Pope Francis chose to follow this path of self-giving until the last day of his earthly life. He recalled how his decision to take the name Francis immediately appeared to indicate the pastoral plan on which he wanted to base his pontificate, seeking inspiration from the spirit of Saint Francis of Assisi. With his pastoral leadership and through his resolute personality, said Cardinal Re, he immediately made his mark on the governance of the Church. He was a pope among the people, with an open heart towards everyone, especially the marginalized, but also a pope attentive to the signs of the times and what the Holy Spirit was awakening in the church. With his characteristic vocabulary and language, he always sought to shed light on the problems of our difficult times with the wisdom of the gospel. Evangelization, Cardinal Re explained, remained central to his vision. His image of the church as a field hospital characterized the church actively engaging with the world's wounds. His outreach to migrants and refugees, exemplified by the visits to Lampedusa, Lesbos, and the US-Mexico border, was deeply symbolic of his solidarity with the suffering. Cardinal Re also highlighted Pope Francis' relentless emphasis on mercy and his persistent advocacy for a culture of encounter against the prevailing throwaway culture. His call for human fraternity underscored his desire for global solidarity and peace. Environmental stewardship, expressed in the encyclical Laudato Si, Cardinal Re continued, further widened the scope of his moral leadership, stressing the interconnectedness of all creation and our shared responsibility for the planet. In times of global violence and war, Pope Francis' voice stood out as one of peace, always insisting that war is a defeat for humanity. The homily closed on a tender note, invoking the familiar words with which Pope Francis always ended his audiences and meetings, "Do not forget to pray for me." With applause rising from those present, Cardinal Re said that now, as Pope Francis rests in God's embrace, the faithful reverse that request, asking their beloved Pope to intercede for the Church, for Rome, and the whole world from heaven. I am Lisa Zingarini.
The send-off of Pope Francis was not just solemn and spectacular, but it was also something not seen before within recent memory. Soon after the conclusion of the funeral mass, the coffin carrying the remains of Pope Francis was taken back inside the basilica, where, after a short stopover by the altar, the coffin was taken outside through the door that opens right in front of the Casa Santa Marta residence, where the late Pope had resided for 12 years. From there, the coffin was loaded onto the Pope mobile, and the procession began through the back road of Gregorio VII and traveled through the ancient ruins of Rome, past the monument of the fallen soldiers in Piazza Venezia, past the ancient Roman Forum and the Colosseum, where his beautiful meditations for the Via Crucis, denouncing the economy of indifference and calling for an economy of peace, had been read out just 1 week ago. Once at the Basilica of St. Mary Major, the coffin was raised towards the crowd for a final goodbye, and when the coffin was taken inside the basilica, the Pope's coffin was held for a few moments before the Pauline Chapel, facing the icon of Mary Salus Popoli Romani, before being taken to the place next door for burial. The rite of the burial began at 13 hours Rome time and took place according to the prescriptions of the Ordo Exequiarum Romani Pontificis, presided over by the Cardinal Camerlengo in the presence of those mentioned in the relevant notice from the Office for the Liturgical Celebrations and the family members of the deceased Pope. The burial rite was concluded at 13 hours Rome time. With this sad but happy reality in the celebration of the legacy of Pope Francis still fresh on people's minds, questions could still reflect on people's faces about why Pope Francis chose to be buried in this Marian Basilica and not in the traditional Vatican catacomb beneath the St. Peter's Basilica. Donna de Prudlo is a Warren Professor of Catholic Studies at the University of Tulsa in the United States. He spoke to Vatican Radio just before the funeral, and he explained that though he is not the first one to have made such a decision, Pope Francis is the first one in more than 120 years to be buried away from St. Peter's Basilica.
Over the course of the long history of the 266 pontiffs, there have been numerous burial places, most of them certainly in St. Peter's, but a lot of them outside as well. And Santa Mary Major, one of the four archbasilicas of the Roman Church, has been a place of rest for seven other popes besides Pope Francis. A lot of times, the choice is meaningful, right? It represents significance beyond itself. Sometimes it presents a witness. For instance, Pope St. Gregory VII is buried in Salerno because he had opposed the designs of a German emperor who was trying to interfere in the papacy. And when he died, he said, "Because I've loved justice and hated iniquity, I die in exile." And so even the place of interment can be a symbol of the papacy. This particular choice by Pope Francis is a very powerful one. It reassociates the Catholic Church with devotion to the Virgin Mary. It shows his closeness to the Roman people in his devotion to the Salus Populus Romani icon. And it reinforces the idea that it's not necessary that the popes be buried at St. Peter's, which after all isn't even their cathedral, which is St. John Lateran. It simply becomes the shrine, and choosing to be buried at St. Peter, a depositio ad sanctos, being buried near the bones of St. Peter itself, is also a very strong statement, a statement of the unity and the perpetuity of the Petrine line.
Professor of Catholic Studies at the University of Tulsa in the United States of America, Donna de Prudlo, explaining the reason behind the choice of some popes to be buried away from the Basilica of St. Peter's. The late Pope did not just choose not to be buried at the Vatican, but even at the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Pope Francis did not want to be buried in a chapel, as tradition may have it. Lithuanian-born Cardinal Rolandas Makrikas has served as coadjutor archpriest of the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore, St. Mary Major, since 2024. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Cardinal Makrikas revealed the humble burial wish of Pope Francis.
Holy Father, in month of May 2022, during one of the meetings, when I asked if he is not thinking to have his tomb here because of his so strong devotion to Salus Populi Romani, he told that he thinks that popes have to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica, and that he is thinking to do it the same way. But after a week, he called me in Santa Marta and he told, Mary told me, prepare your tomb and ask to find the right place where his tomb can be. And he told immediately that he don't want to be buried in the chapel, because chapel is for celebrations and especially for the icon of Salus Populi Romani, and people should come here to pray and venerate Mary and not look to the tomb of Pope. For that reason, he wanted that the tomb should be in somewhere in the basilica, but not in the chapel.
Coadjutor Archpriest of the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Cardinal Rolandas Makrikas, talking to Vatican Radio about the humble burial wish of Pope Francis. On Friday evening, the Chamberlain or the Camerlengo of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, during this sede vacante, Cardinal Kevin Farrell presided at the rite of the sealing of the coffin of the late Pope Francis ahead of the papal funeral on Saturday morning. The liturgical rite was attended by several cardinals and Holy See officials and marked the end of public viewing of the body of Pope Francis in St. Peter's Basilica. Linda Bodoni tells us more.
The deceased Pope lay in state in front of the confessio altar in a wooden coffin. He was wrapped in a red chasuble with a white mitre and a rosary in his hands, the coffin resting at ground level without a catafalque. This was Francis's own decision. The ceremony led by Cardinal Camerlengo Kevin Farrell began with the reading of a document listing the stages of Jorge Mario Bergoglio's life and his most important activities as Pope. Archbishop Diego Ravelli spread a white silk cloth over the face of the Pope, while Cardinal Camerlengo Farrell sprinkled his body with holy water. A bag containing coins and medals minted during his pontificate was then placed in the coffin with the Pope. After the zinc coffin, the wooden coffin was also sealed, with the Vatican seals imprinted upon it, as well as a cross and the coat of arms of the deceased Pope. I'm Linda Bordoni.
There were a lot of young people who turned out at the funeral of Pope Francis on Saturday morning. Many of these young mourners said they appreciated the efforts for peace of the late Pope. In fact, many of these young people in the crowd said Pope Francis was a father and a grandfather who dedicated his life to those most in need. Maria Elena Skira spoke to some of these young people.
Many were the faithful that came to Rome to witness Pope Francis' funeral. Among them, groups of youngsters that this weekend also celebrated their jubilee. Margarida, a Portuguese 13-year-old, was present this morning in St. Peter's Square with her friends from the Ericeira and Carvoeira parish and was eager to share her testimony.
I think he was a very kind Pope. I think he made so many good things to our world and that help our faith. And I also think that he changed so much ideas that before that was like things that wasn't talked about.
Maria followed her friend's steps and emotionally shared the image she cherishes of the Holy Father.
He's a kind person and gentle, and he likes to talk with people, and I think this is good.
When asked about her prayers to the Pope, now in heaven, Margarida remembered the many countries at war and asked that the Holy Father continues to guide and support them.
Help the countries that are in war and not
help the people there. Maybe go to some countries that are more needing help and give some faith, maybe. So I think he could be there to help the people.
I am Maria Elena Skater.
As we all know, Pope Francis has left a legacy that is larger than life, with many people simply saying he was a unique person, especially for the fact that he sought peace between peoples. For Cardinal Christoph Schönborn of Vienna, Pope Francis, like his two predecessors, John Paul II and Benedict XVI, happened to be on the stage of the Catholic Church at the right time, just when the person of his type was needed in the church.
Francis came with his bonacera, simplicity, proximity. Christians are neighbors. The universal fraternity he spoke so often about brought him to the Muslims. A dear friend of mine who works with me for refugee matters, and he's himself from Syria, he follows the Muslim media daily. He said, the death of Francis, Muslim world. He spoke about a high-ranking Muslim leader in tears about the death of Francis. Proximity, simplicity. We are all brothers and sisters. So I think all three popes were absolutely at the right time, and their witness is so coherent. I would say the best manager couldn't invent a better sequence of popes as the Holy Spirit has done.
Cardinal Christoph Schönborn of Vienna with that tribute to Pope Francis. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Instead of the usual Sunday liturgy program, today we want to look at some of the key aspects surrounding the liturgical rites of Pope Francis' death. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. In terms of rituals, there are three main stations or moments that must occur when a pope dies. The first is the home, and this time around it was Santa Marta where the pope himself was living. This first moment was the certification of death. The second moment is the public display of the pope's body for the faithful to pay their respects. And lastly, the third one is the funeral and the burial itself. Last year, the Holy Father Pope Francis modified the funeral rites. He simplified the funeral ritual in order to emphasize the fact that a pope is a normal mere human being, a pastor, a mere bishop, and not a very powerful person. In modifying the ritual, it became also possible then for a pope to be buried outside the Vatican. As you know, for a long time, almost all the popes have been buried in the Vatican. So no wonder Pope Francis was buried in the Marian Basilica of St. Mary Major, a place that he himself chose. Another change brought about the modification of the burial of popes is that the new funeral rite no longer requires the body of the pope to be placed in the traditional three coffins made of cypress, lead, and oak. Instead, the pope's body was placed in a simple wooden coffin. It had only an inner layer, that's an inner zinc coffin, inside. Another change to the ritual, the pope's body was not placed on top of an elevated platform outside the coffin, as used to happen in the past. Instead, the pope's body was inside the coffin. Again, just like any other normal funeral that we have attended. Some of you have also been wondering why, if the fisherman's ring was destroyed. A fisherman's ring is the ring that the popes wear. So if it was destroyed, why did we see him still wearing while he was lying instead? Well, he had two. The first one, the official golden fisherman's ring, he would use very rarely. I think maybe because it was made of gold. So he chose the simpler one, which was a cheaper version of the same. And this is what he often wore. After his death, as required by custom, the fisherman's ring was destroyed,
but we still see him wearing the cheaper, simpler replica of the fisherman's ring. Another thing that some of you noticed and have been asking for clarification is the fact that normally in the Catholic Church, the color of funerals is purple or violet. Some countries still have black, but normally it's purple or violet. But this time around, all the vestments used were red. Well, since the first century of the Christian era, red was the liturgical color reserved for funerals. It comes from the time when Christians were being persecuted in the city of Rome. Red, therefore, is the color of martyrs. Our Lord Jesus Christ was martyred on the cross. The Pope, as the vicar of Christ, therefore, takes on that color red, which is the color of martyrdom. So there have also been questions about what happened after the funeral mass. This is because we didn't see much of the actual burial itself. The burial was private. But already by Sunday morning, visitors can visit Pope Francis's tomb in the Basilica of Mary Majors. With the burial done, the church now enters into day two of the 9 days period of mourning, with a Requiem Mass being celebrated in the Vatican by one of the senior cardinals every day. After the 9 days mourning period, the cardinals will start the conclave of choosing a new pope. And that's just about all we had time for looking at the liturgical aspects of Pope Francis's funeral. And Father Paul Samasumo.
Pope Francis was laid to rest on Saturday at the Roman Basilica of St. Mary Major, is often called the Green Pope, and has emerged as a prominent global voice on climate change issues due to his strong advocacy for environmental protection. During his 12-year pontificate, he made numerous calls for the protection of the environment so that future generations can also benefit from God's gift to humankind. In his landmark encyclical letter, Laudato Si, he emphasized the importance of caring for our planet and urged all people, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, to embrace integral ecology, which also recognizes the interconnectedness of people, planet and economic issues. In the document published 10 years ago, the late Pope teaches that creation is a gift from God, and as such, humanity has a responsibility to be stewards, not exploiters, of our common home. In May 2021, inspired by the encyclical, the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development launched the Laudato Si Action Platform. The 7-year journey equips the Church to achieve real and lasting solutions to the ecological crisis.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, con l'encyclical Laudato Si, promulgata nel 2015, invitavo tutte le persone di buona volontà a prendersi cura della terra che è la nostra casa comune.
In a video message to mark the launch of the Laudato Si Action Platform, the late Pope said, quote, "With the encyclical Laudato Si promulgated in 2015, I invited all people of goodwill to take care of the earth, which is our common home." For a long time now, this house that hosts us suffers as a result of wounds that we cause by our predatory attitude, which makes us feel that we are masters of the planet and its resources and authorizes us to make irresponsible use of the goods God has given us. Today, he continued, these wounds manifest themselves dramatically in an unprecedented ecological crisis which involves the ground, air, water, and in general, the ecosystem in which human beings live. In the video released during the coronavirus pandemic, the late Pope said the pandemic has now brought to light an even stronger way the cry of nature and of the poor who suffer the consequences the most, highlighting that everything is interconnected and interdependent, and that our health is not separate from the health of the environment in which we live. Therefore, said the late Pope, we need a new ecological approach that can transform our way of inhabiting the world, our lifestyles, our relationship with the earth's resources, and in general, our way of looking at humanity and of living life. He continued, an integral human ecology which involves not only environmental questions, but also mankind in its entirety, becomes capable of listening to the cry of the poor and of being leaven of a new society. He said each of us has a great responsibility, especially with regard to future generations. What world do we want to leave to our children and our young people, he asked. In conclusion, the late Pope renewed his appeal for environmental protection with these words, let us take care of our Mother Earth. Let us overcome the temptation of selfishness that makes us predators of resources. Let us cultivate respect for the gifts of the earth and of creation. Let us inaugurate a lifestyle and a society that is finally eco-sustainable. We have the opportunity to prepare for a better tomorrow for all. From God's hands, we have received a garden. We cannot leave a desert to our children, the late Pope appealed. On the 4th of October, 2023, the late Pope published the apostolic exhortation Laudate Deum, which translates to Praise God. In it, he urges a renewed focus on the climate crisis and the urgent need to protect God's creation. I am Festus Tarawali.
On that note, we come to the end of our bulletin today. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.